Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ikra, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Aptus Value Housing Finance India Limited to discuss its results for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2026. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements based on the company's beliefs, assumptions, and expectations as of today. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keyboard. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us today Mr. M. Anandan, Executive Chairman, Mr. P. Balaji, Managing Director, Mr. C. T. Manoharan, Executive Director and Chief Business Officer, and Mr. Sanjay Mittal, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand the call to Mr. Anandan for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Anandan, Executive Chairman of Aptus Value Housing Finance India Limited. I warmly welcome you all to the earnings call. We are very happy to present that overall we have demonstrated resilience and robust business growth for Q4 as well as for FY26. On Q4 26, as you're aware, we saw strengthening of our growth momentum aided by ongoing process improvements and technology enhancements, alongside continued focus on credit quality. During the quarter, we delivered highest quarterly disbursements of 1,242 crores. This has come despite not sourcing any loans of less than 7 lakhs, Looking ahead, we expect further improvement in this growth trajectory driven by expansion in newer states, entry into newer states, Maharashtra and Odisha, and deeper penetration in existing markets, channel augmentation, higher average ticket size, calibrated lending rates on incremental loans, and improved productivity. Going forward, we are very confident of maintaining a consistent growth of over 20%+ and best-in-class ROE of 20%+. With this, I hand over the mic to Mr. Balaji to take you through the business focus and key operating and financial parameters. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning to all. To begin with, I am happy to convey that we have delivered on our guidance across key levers, be it growth, spreads, costs, and credit quality, and will sustain this trajectory in the coming years. During the year, in line with our intent to onboard higher quality customers, we discontinued sanctions below 7 lakhs. While this decision led to temporary moderation in disbursements in Q1 and Q2, we rebounded strongly in Q4. We witnessed this growth momentum continuing in April 2026 as well. This has helped set a strong foundation for sustained business momentum and reinforced alignment of field execution with our policies. Overall, the year reinforces our belief that affordable housing segment we operate in remains structurally robust and has strong potential for growth. Growth remains our key focus area. To accelerate growth momentum, we are executing a set of targeted high-impact initiatives, the first one being geographical expansion. We expanded our presence in the newer states of Maharashtra and Odisha in FY26 and strengthened our presence in existing states as well, leading to a branch network of 339. On account of encouraging indications from our new geographies, and continued business momentum in our existing geographies, we are planning to open around 60 branches in FY27, increasing the average ticket size, partly driven by inflation. Increasing our ATS is helping us onboard higher quality customers. Optimizing lending rates across segments in line with our strategy to onboard higher quality customers and aid growth further. We have optimized interest rates on certain loan ticket size, leveraging the benefits from lower borrowing costs and improvement in productivity. As the rate reduction is only for the incremental customers, the impact on the spreads or the NIMs is not very material. Fourth one is the connector channel. In addition to our digital channels, we have expanded our connector partnership across branches. While this is still at a nascent stage, we expect this channel to evolve into a meaningful growth driver over time. Looking ahead, we expect to deliver sustainable AUM growth of 22% to 24% driven by these initiatives. Our growth is anchored on four strategic pillars. First one is diversified mix. The focus on self-employed customers across housing and business loans with strong presence in Tier 3 and Tier 4 towns. Then the next one is the geographical expansion, scaling beyond South into Maharashtra and Orissa while deepening the core markets. Productivity, driving higher output through data-led, system-driven processes. Then the digital excellence, leveraging technology across sourcing, credit, and collections to improve speed, control, and efficiency. Now, moving on to performance, major performance highlights are as follows. First, relating to business growth and scale, AUM grew by 21% year-on-year to 13,107 crores. Disbursements in Q4 FY26 grew 17% year-on-year and 21% quarter-on-quarter to 1,242 crores. Disbursements in FY26 grew 11% to 4,009 crores. Branch networks stood at 339 branches as of 31st March, adding 39 branches in FY26. Now coming to the asset quality, the collection efficiency stood at 100.5% versus 99.1% in the previous quarter. The improvement in collection efficiency led to a dip in our 30+ to 6.21%, which was 6.48% in the last quarter. We closed FY26 with a GNPA of 1.52% as against 1.19% in FY25. The increase is primarily due to marginal increase in the NPA of NBFC. Net NPA was 1.15% as against 0.89% in FY25. The credit cost for FY26 remained at 50 basis points within our guided range. Now coming to the profitability, during the quarter, net income margin grew by 24% year-on-year to 434 crores. Our spreads improved to 9%, driven by decline in cost of funds to 8.1%. Our OPEX as a percentage of AUM remained at 2.8%. Profit grew 26% year-on-year to 261 crores, translating into an ROA and ROE of 8.2% and 21.2% amongst the highest in the industry. The profit for FY26 rose by 26% to 943 crores. During the year, we have declared a dividend of ₹4.50, including the dividend of ₹2.50 that was declared in the board meeting held on 6th May 2026. Now coming to the funding, during Q4, we raised approximately 980 crores on a consolidated basis, primarily through a mix of NCDs, term loans, and securitization. Our liability profile continues to remain well diversified with 58% from banks, NCDs at 15%, securitization including CDs and DA at 19%, and the balance through NHB, which is at around 9%. We continue to maintain strong liquidity position with total liquidity of 2,057 crores as of March 26, including 1,505 crores of undrawn bank sanction, providing us ample headroom to support growth. Now, with these remarks, I open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star N1 on your telephone keyboard and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Many congratulations on very strong numbers. Sir, my first question is on, your Tamil Nadu state growth. There is a good revival and I think we have been speaking about it that you are trying to, drive a revival there. So did anything change in terms of macro factor, in terms of demand competition and internally, what changed in terms of team stability, team productivity, which drove, good comeback growth in Tamil Nadu in this quarter?
If you look at Tamil Nadu, the year-on-year loan book growth is around 14%. But we are, of course, we have made structural changes in terms of employing correct people and then retaining people in Tamil Nadu. But still, in Tamil Nadu, the attrition is slightly high. But still, we are able to retain people who are able to contribute to the business. Having said that, in Tamil Nadu, the competition is slightly higher. And since we are there in Tamil Nadu for last 15, 16 years, if anybody wants to open a branch in Tamil Nadu, the first thing they do is to take people from us. But still, because of various incentive schemes which we have launched and productivity-based improvements and monitoring systems, we are able to achieve this performance. And going forward, we are confident of getting this in place.
So now that 15% sequential traction that we saw, which was very solid, the momentum is now structural in nature, right? That's what you're trying to indicate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sir, what is the incremental ticket sizes in home loans and large quasi home loan that we are now onboarding, and what is the incremental lending rate? And in the future, how do you see the ticket size, progress, for us? Which will help us in, delivering better growth over the volume.
The average ticket size, whether it is the housing loan or quasi-home loan or small business loan, is that every year we want to increase this by 1 lakh. This is partly driven by inflation and also it helps us onboard higher quality customers. So this is broadly the plan and we'll be able to achieve this because the field executives and the branch managers are also aligned to this. So that is what we'll be implementing.
Got it. Sir, can I just ask one last question?
Yeah.
In terms of channel augmentation, when you say channel augmentation, engagement with the connectors and all, one is connecting more branches with the local connectors. So where are we in terms of that, setting the connection of, branches in terms of number, how many branches will then have connectors network to go to for sourcing? And how do we better engage with the connectors so that we get better volume in the local market?
In relation to channel augmentation, there are two things which we are pursuing other than the organic leads that is being generated by the sales officers. See, what is happening, one is the digital channel, basically the referral app, the customer referrals, the construction ecosystem referrals, and also the digital social media. That is one thing which we are doing. Over and above that, we are also pursuing this connector channel. This connector channel will be an additional channel over and above this organic lead that is getting generated by the sales officers. So every branch manager has been assigned the responsibility to recruit connectors and they will be driving the connector channel. So the leads that are coming from the connectors will be passed on to credit and for further processing from the branch manager point of view, and that will be pursued. So that's the plan we have, and we launched this sometime in January, and the traction is very good, and hopefully this will get converted into a good channel augmentation process in the coming year.
Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. So a couple of questions. One is on the collection efficiency side. Generally, like Q4, we see a strong build-up. We have crossed 100, but still lower than past couple of years in Q4. So is it like there is still maybe, obviously we have put in a lot of efforts on the collection, but in any of the regions or profile, are we seeing a relatively slower recoveries? That's the first question. And secondly, on the off-balance sheet item, so we have seen the off-balance sheet proportion going up. So to that extent, when we look at it on the off-balance sheet side, what is the kind of scale-up? Like, last time you indicated to get towards six to eight, we have already crossed that. So will we take the off-balance sheet proportion further up rather than pure on-book AUM? Yeah, thanks.
The first thing on the collection efficiency, this is 100.5%, as you rightly said, this quarter saw good collections and this actually worked well. But if you look at the area-wise thing, Karnataka, there are small issues in the sense that there are issues in collection, which we are trying to sort out through strengthening the collection system there, like, you know, recruiting more people and recruiting more monitoring people and there, that kind of a thing. So, other than that, we are not finding any other place where.
No, just to add, on the collection, there are, on a product-wise basis, if you look at it, you know, around two-thirds our portfolio is in the HL and about one-third in the NBFC business. In the NBFC business, the collections are slightly, you know, it's slightly lower. In fact, even in the NPA, gross NPA and NPA, the NBFC-related business, you know, while the total average is 1.5 or 1.52 gross NPA, the NBFC-related, non-home-related, it is slightly higher, about 20-30 basis points higher. And the HL-related portfolio, it is lower. And not only in the gross NPA, net NPA, that in terms of even the collection, you know, field collections also slightly lower in the NBFC-related business. That we have recognized and we have strengthened, because of the growth potential and the margins in the NBFC business, you know, even the, you know, the credit costs also been fully factored in. But we are really strengthening our collection staff, particularly in that product segment. So that is in terms of the product mix-wise. And geography-wise, yes, as Mr. Balaji said, Karnataka is an area where the collection percentage is slightly lower than the other geographies. And that we are really very focused. In fact, our business growth also, we are, in fact, number of branches and the business growth and the strengthening of the collection staff is really happening in that state. And we understand, you know, this is generally the scenario for some of our other competitors also. The collection in Karnataka is slightly different, that we are really focusing on.
Perfect. Yeah.
Now, coming to this off-book, I think you are meaning the direct assignment. See,
Yeah, segment.
We have got a clear policy on this direct assignment. First, this is being done for the non-housing loan book, and this is also when you do that, the principal business criteria on the housing finance company improves. So, and also this, we are managing it through as a liquidity management tool. So if you look at the direct assignment, we did around 170-180 crores in this quarter, and this absolute value of 160- 180 crores will be maintained every quarter. And if you, as a strategy, we might not want to go beyond 10% of the total AUM at any point in time. Now, currently, it is around 5%, the DA deal done. So, this is the plan we have on the DA, and going forward also, this will be monitored and taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah, Kunal, just to add, you know, in the current year, we have done about 700 crores of joint assignment or balance sheet, as you call. Over a total disbursements of 4,000 crores, it is coming about, 16-17%. As a percentage of disbursements. But if you look at the loan book on 700 crores on the loan book of 13,000 crores, it comes about 5.6% or so. So going forward, as a percentage of the loan book, as Mr. Balaji mentioned, it will be around 10%, which, as you know, is much higher than our comparable company, much lower than other comparable companies, in our space. So going forward, this off balance sheet, our bank assignment will be there, but within the guidelines, within the specific percentage that's been approved by the board.
Got it, perfect. And one more question, if I can squeeze in.
Yeah, please.
So on spreads, we saw 10 basis points increase. That's particularly the funding cost advantage. Do we see the funding, any repricing benefit still left, or it's largely done? Okay, and obviously our portfolio on the fixed side is much higher, particularly on the lending side, so that's also helping them. But here on, how should we see the traction on spreads?
See, if you look at it, we have been, our incremental cost of funds in the housing finance is around 7.8% or 7.9%, and in the NBFC it is between 8.2% to 8.3%. I am not seeing much improvement. I am not seeing any reduction from these rates in the coming quarters, and there is a likelihood that it can only result in slight increase as well. So this is on the cost of borrowing. Of course, since we have also calibrated some incremental lending rates on some of the housing loan ticket sizes, there can be a slight drop in the yields as well. So we have already worked it out. The impact on the AUM in terms of yields will be around 0.1%. And we are planning to have the same rate of borrowing, which is currently at around 8.1% in the coming year as well. But even if, assuming if my incremental cost of borrowing is going to go up by 0.2%, then what will happen is the total borrowing cost will increase by 0.08%. So the net impact on the yields will be around 0.18%. So this is what has been factored in our business plan as well for the next year. So going forward, this will be the thing which we have projected.
Perfect, yeah. Thanks, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Danish from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. And congrats on a good set of numbers. Yeah, hi, sir. Just two, three things. So one on the disbursement yield side, right? So in FY26, there has been a couple of changes we have made to our pricing. So one, of course, is the discontinuing disbursement below 7 lakh rupees ticket size, which I am assuming should be more than 20% yielding product for us. And also, as you already mentioned, that we have calibrated rates in some of the ticket size. So net-net, when we look at the book yield, which is, closer to 17-odd%, how the disbursement yields are trending, let's say, over last two, three quarters, especially post-exiting below 7 lakh rupees ticket size?
If you look at Ramesh, till December, we have not changed any rates. Okay. In January, we have just reduced the interest rates for the housing loan customers alone. And only for the housing loan customers, and because of that, in Q4, the disbursement yield dropped by around 0.1%. Okay. Now, going forward, in the month of April also, we have slightly calibrated on the interest rates only for the housing loan, and that too on certain ticket prices. So, in the coming year, the likely impact on the disbursement yield is likely to be at around 0.1-0.15%. And on the loan book, it is going to be around 0.06%. So this is broadly the plan. So this is what we have done as of now.
So there is no impact of, we exiting below 7 lakh rupees ticket size on the yields yet?
No, that is not playing out, because The yields which we were charging less than 7 lakh or greater than 7 lakh were never different earlier.
Okay, 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 okay. Got it, got it. And sir, secondly, you know, on the profitability front, right, so obviously Q4 ROE looks very strong at 21%. But going ahead, what kind of a sustainable ROE you expect, you know, the way our AUM mix might evolve over next 2 to 3 years, you know, in terms of better quality, slightly lower rate, etc. So how do you see overall profitability trending over next 2 to 3 years?
If you recast the ROE which is currently in, now and then extrapolate it for the reduced lending rate and also the slight increase in the credit cost, I think I told the spread is, the impact on the spread is likely to be around 0.15 to 0.4%. Correct?
Correct.
So even if that is, hopefully we'll be able to compensate it by way of productivity and also maybe a slight reduction in the OPEX, which can happen or which might not happen. Even if assuming the OPEX is likely to be at 2.7 and credit cost, even if you are taking from 0.5 to 0.6%, I mean, on a hypothetical side, still my ROEs and ROAs will be, ROA will, because of leverage, can come down, but ROEs will be much above 20%. So this is, we have actually planned it this way for the next 2 years as well. So definitely we are very confident of, as Mr. Anandan told, 20 plus growth, sustainable 20% plus growth and sustainable 20% ROE. That is what is APTEC meant for.
Just to add, actually our ROE is progressively going up during the last 4 or 5 years, if I recall. We sort of improved from about 14% progressively. Now it has, in fact, a milestone in the fourth quarter. We have really crossed 20%. Actually, in fourth quarter, if you see, it is really touched 21%. ROE, which you are aware, is the best in class in ROE return. Because we, you know, we very firmly believe our, you know, economic value add, value creation is as important as the growth. While we will continue to pursue strong business growth, at the same time, we are very conscious of the, you know, the financial metrics, particularly the economic value add and ROE as well. That's why we very consciously we've been working on it last 4 or 5 years. And going forward also, there is enough strengths have been built into the company to sustain this rate. In fact, if not improving the rate further.
Got it, got it. And sir, just a last question on the borrowing mix side. You know, so we saw NHB borrowing, you know, coming down all the way to 9% versus 15% previously. So just wanted to know, is there any particular reason why there is a lower NHB drawdown in FY26 and in 27 or, yeah?
No, actually, Ramesh, I mean, for the last year, we didn't borrow from NHB because we were able to get better cost funds as compared to NHB. That's why we went for the other sources. Having said that, we have already filed an application for a 500 crore refinance facility from NHB. And hopefully that will come in another 2-3 months. The sanction will come and we'll be trying that. So actually the specific reason is we had better borrowing sources, which was actually the cost of that was less than the NHB borrowing, and that's why we went for that other thing. Now that NHB has also reduced their prime lending rate and they are able to give us a better rate, we'll be getting into these NHB borrowings as well. And going forward, I mean, if you look at our book also, it is almost 82% fixed. So NHB borrowing, if it comes to us, it will be on a fixed rate basis, which will help manage my interest rate risk itself.
Got it. Well, I was just about to ask you that only, sir, in case, let us say, in FY27, the NHB borrowing share goes up to, 15%. Then ideally, that should help us, keeping borrowing cost even at current level, even, let us say, the interest rate goes up. I mean, is that the fair assumption?
It's a fair assumption, but if you're building in a business plan, it's better you build in a 0.2%.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Let us say that should be upside risk.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mayank Mistry from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter. Sir, my question is mainly, first of all, on the branch expansion side. You said you will be expanding 60 branches and largely coming in from new geography. Can you quantify, sir, how much could be from new geographies? And secondly, also, now that you are comfortable in both of these geographies, like Maharashtra and Orissa, in terms of expansion, are you exploring any other geography sooner, maybe within a year or maybe within next couple of years? You know, because right now it looks like it is pretty skewed into 6 states. I understand that you have been proficient enough in, you know, going deeper into geographies, but yeah, it still leads to a concentration risk. So any comment on that part?
Mayank, we are well aware of that, and that's why we have stepped into this new geography. And if you look at it, the plan of opening 60 branches, 30 branches will come in Maharashtra and Orissa, the additional. The balance will come in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. And if everything goes well, we have also recruited a senior person taking care of the Maharashtra who has got experience of handling and building a business in MP and Chhattisgarh as well. If everything goes well, maybe we might open one or two branches in the other states as well. But it will depend on how the whole expansion plan progresses. The thought is there to get into the new state, but it will be done at the appropriate time. The contingency.
Sure, sir. And on the borrowings mix aside again, you know, your securitization mix has significantly increased in this quarter. So, what must be the you know, differential you must be getting in doing securitization is against NCDs, which have actually gone down this quarter?
Actually, securitization mix has not gone up. It is actually 11%. If you look at, in the earlier presentation, we didn't include DA as the source of funding in the pie chart. So that's why if you look at it, 11 and 8% is the DA, and that's what has come as on the total borrowings. So if the securitization is still at 11%, last time also it was around 10-11% mix only.
Securitization also helps us in terms of to raise the longer tenor debt. So compared to the other debt, the securitization also carries slightly longer tenor than other sources. Yeah.
Okay, so sir, what would be the, if you can give us an interest rate on how you are getting on NCDs?
I didn't get your question.
The cost of funds of NCD, from NCD.
From NCD, it is around the same rate. I mean, we have done a securitization deal in the NBFC in Q4 at 8%. So that is the going rate. I mean, NBFC is slightly 8.1-8.2%. The duration is longer. Duration is also longer. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dishan Chavate from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. You know, just a small one. If you could give some color of the incremental disbursement that you have done in this quarter, you know, how would the disbursement growth, let's say, make up between, you know, salaried and self-employed? And I think if I just look at the overall business mix change on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there seems to be a fairly sharp swing in favor of self-employed from salaried. So if you could give some color on that, that would be helpful.
The self-employed is around 78% and 22% is the salary. And on the overall basis, that will still be continued. That is the philosophy we have, and that will continue, Mr.
Okay, sure. The presentation actually says that self-employed is 80, so maybe that is where I think maybe there was this.
70 and 80.
Okay, sure. So the mix in your view sort of, you know, broadly doesn't change.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. And the stress is probably more geographic rather than sector specific is what one
yes.
is reading.
Absolutely. Yes.
Got it. And just one small one is on the operating leverage side, right? I mean, in terms of cost to AUM ratio, if I look at this number every year for the last 3 years, it's been coming down, but it's probably inched up a bit in FY26. And that's kind of, you know, getting reflected in higher employee payouts. So how should one think about it, and how will this trend up? How will this trend going forward?
If you look at the overall AUM to cost to AUM, it is around 2.7. Last time it was 2.6. See, our guidance has always been to maintain between 2.6 to 2.8%. Of course, the reason why this year there is a slight increase in the cost is, first of all, the disbursement was an all-time high in this quarter, so there was more employee payouts and that kind of a thing. And new branches were also open, 39 branches, so to that extent there was an absorption in the cost. The third one is, we have also increased the IT spend in terms of the security and also the way we do business. The Ziva, which we launched in April 24, has been evolving and it has settled well. But every time when a new thing like account aggregator or when we are talking to unified lending interface introduced by RBI, we are able to see the digitization of land records in some of the states. So those are some of the things which we are spending. That is actually an investment for the future. Though it is getting absorbed as a cost now, but it is going to bring in lots of process improvements in the coming years.
Got it. One more, I think on the credit cost side, what is the guidance that you have shared?
Currently, it is around 0.5%. We want to have a 0.5 plus or minus 10%, 0.1%.
Got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prithviraj Patil from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted some clarity on the AUM mix. So if I look at our spreads, they have increased 10 basis quarter on quarter. So I just want to know, have we, there's a uptick in the self-employed segment and the LAP segment. So I just want to know, is that contributing to the increase in spread? Or is there a benefit on the cost side?
It is basically because of the cost of funds has come down from 8.3 to 8.1%. So that's the benefit that has flown into the whole thing.
Okay. It's not because of the AUM mix, right?
Not because of AUM mix.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sonal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So, in your earlier comments, I heard that this year we've seen some issues with NBFC, and that is where the credit cost has gone up. Now, when I compare your consolidated loan loss provision to standalone loan loss provision, so I see that it means for the is it better now?
Just continue, we'll see how it progresses.
Sure. So when I look at your standalone and consolidated loan loss provisions, so at least for the quarter that I'm seeing that on a consolidated basis, the credit cost is somewhere closer to 15 crores and on standalone for 20 crores. And even if I look at the trend for the full year, it seems that the credit cost is higher in the housing portfolio as compared to NBFC portfolio. So if you could just tell exactly where is it that I'm missing, because in your earlier comments you said that the issue was more on the NBFC side.
Sorry, you contact me personally, I'll tell you, because I'm not able to hear you properly. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. very smart.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter. My question was on repayment rate and the BT out. So what is that for us in terms of this quarter versus last quarter? And what strategy do we have in order to, let's say, retain a customer, especially when the rates are so much different versus our peers? Because our peers have seen this rate moving up and down. There has been volatility there, but for us, it's been much more stickier at 15-16% sort of a number on the repayment rate, on the repayment rate side.
First of all, if you look at the peak closures, it is around 7-8% of the total AUM. Okay, 7%. Okay. Of that 7%, almost 65% to 70% of our customers, when they come and close the loan, it is out of their own funds. So the balance, only 2% gets transferred to the other companies. So this is, we have been maintaining this, we have been observing for the last 10 years. So this has not changed at all. So basically, it is not the interest rate which is playing a part. It is basically the type of customers whom we are serving. When they have some surplus funds, the first thing they do is to settle the loan rather than keeping it alive. So definitely the balance transfer is around 2 to 2.5% and that's still continuing. So as of now, that's not being looked at very as a threat.
Yeah. Actually, we don't see any significant challenge in the BT to other financial institutions. That is only about 1/3 of our total precursor. 2/3 really money coming from our customers themselves out of their savings and their, they're closing out of their money. The actual loan transfer from us to the other financial institutions, it is only around 2.5%, which has been there, for quite some time, almost 8-10 years. So that way our BT to the other financial institution is something normal and is nothing abnormal. We are not observing any abnormal trend in that.
Got it. So just a follow-up there, like while at book level you are indicating 2 to 2.5%, but what if you could give some color specifically for SL product, would it be the similar or it would be, let's say, closer to 4-5% sort of a BT out number with respect to other players acquiring our customers?
No, actually, we have seen this analysis across the product. It's the same. We are not seeing much that kind of a difference. Yeah.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raghav from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, brother.
Okay. I just have one question, and on your assignment income, maybe the CFO can answer this better. See, when I look at your assignment gains as percentage of the off-balance sheet loans or assigned loans, that's 28% for this quarter and about 42% for the full year. And when I compare this with peers, the number is more like 8 to 10%. And I think, when the back book builds up or, when you increase the, when you scale up this assignment book, the numbers which are 28% for the quarter and 42% for the year should normalize downward for you. So I just wanted to get some sense that for FY27, 28 or going ahead, if you can give us some guidance as to how these assignment margins will look, because right now they are contributing a lot to your profits. And as your margin normalizes downward, that's a risk to your ROE guidance, or generally it would not contribute as much to the ROE as it is contributing today. I just wanted to get some sense there.
Rather, if you look at our DA that is being done, we are doing it for the non-housing loan book, largely non-housing loan book, where the yields are around 17-17.5%. So, but if we are going to do a DA deal at, say, 8 or 8.1%, the spread is so high, and that is what is getting recognized as the upfront income. So, this is what will continue. But having said that, we have booked, I mean, last year there was not much DA. This year there is a DA, and next year it will be the same, but the same momentum will continue. So there will not be much impact because of this on the ROE or ROA.
To clarify, the range of upfront income will be in between 25%-28%, what you have actually calculated. So because of our larger tenure and because of the yield and spread, the upfront income will be in that range, around 25%-28%.
Yeah.
So, but the way that I understand this is that as you largely upfront the future income, right? You discount it to the present value and then you recognize it on the P&L. So next time when you do the direct assignment, the income from the back book will not be available. It will only come on the newly assigned loans. But in the denominator, in the base, you will still have the back book, right? So ideally, the margin should come down. Shouldn't it play out that way? I'm just trying to understand.
No, so we are, this 25 to 28%, what we are saying on the incremental DA, what we are doing. So that, that means, I mean, that's guided percentage of 25 to 28%.
Correct. So you're saying 25 to 28 is on the incremental DA that you're doing, but yes. Going forward, yeah. As your outstanding book builds up, this margin should come down ideally. Is that the correct way to think about it?
So margins will not come down. Anyway, Raghav, if this is a specific question, I'll come back to you and we can talk. I'll talk to you now. I'll call you up after the call. So maybe we can understand the numbers and then we'll work it out. Okay?
Sure.
That was also my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kushan Parekh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Sorry, am I audible now? Thank you for taking my questions. I just had one question. Basically, in our opening remarks, we mentioned that we're looking for better quality customers and we have optimized rates as well for these customers. We see some impact on the loan spreads in the next year. If you could help us get a more holistic picture, I mean, in the sense that you explained how you see the impact on the yields, how should this benefit us on the productivity side as well as on the credit cost side at the same time? And net-net, what is the impact that you see of moving this better quality customer on our overall profitability, as well as if you could give us a small picture of essentially this, what is the difference between your current customer and this new customer that you're chasing? I mean, are they very different or kind of cohort, or it's the same cohort and we should expect similar behaviors from this customer as well?
Yeah. I'll try to answer whatever I was able to get from your question. Otherwise, I can talk to you separately. First thing is, if you look at the last year, we have taken this call to stay away from less than 7 lakhs and then... Less than 7 lakhs, and that has actually contributed to the better quality in terms of collection efficiencies and everything. Okay, so now if you look at the disbursements that have been done at a higher ticket size, the collection efficiencies are very high, and the bounce rates are really low. And we are able, to that extent, the collection team's effort or the sales team effort of going to the field and collection is minimized. So that those are all the benefits that are coming because of this higher ticket price disbursement. And going forward, that's what will be concentrated upon.
Understood. That was helpful. And if you could just help us understand, from a customer profile perspective, between our current customer and this new higher ticket customer, how much of a step up is it?
No, the profiles are the same. It's basically the house funded will be slightly higher cost, And because of this, and of course we have gone into this riot exercise because of inflation also, right? So it is basically the profiles of the customers are the same.
The profile wise also, you know, the you know, the credit bureau data, account aggregate data will be, you know, slightly better, the, you know, for the higher ticket, you know, customers than the customers with the loan profile of less than 7 lakhs. Because we would want to be very clearly away from the microfinance type of customers. So, you know, the average size of the microfinance is between 3 to 3.5 lakhs. Would at least want to be at least 2x away from it. And which means that one is really looking for a better, you know, profile, better background customer, that financial background customers, and better income earning profile customers, and which is evidence. Particularly credit data, data now also getting strengthened. Account aggregator data is available. And also this recently introduced ULI opens up a lot of data kind of thing. We are using this data to improve our underwriting standards and to that look for, you know, better customers without really not increasing much risk, because if the customer is going to be from an average 9 lakh to an average 10 lakh, while percentage term is also over 10%, an improvement in 8 years, but actually in terms of the, you know, 1 lakh more low, it doesn't really change the inherent risk of the customer. So in other words, we would really progressively, in fact, it is not really, you know, it's really to cover the inflation cost of the construction itself, will be needing it. So that way, obviously there will be, you know, change, there will be the side improvement in the profile of the customers also. Correct.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on really good set of results. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So, two questions. One question is regarding Tamil Nadu. You mentioned Tamil Nadu is seeing very high competition and competitors are poaching your employees. Is this because of very high penetration in terms of affordable housing finance or LAP, and the field staff finding it tough to meet the targets because, you know, there are not enough customers who are looking for these, and that is leading to high attrition? The same thing is visible even in the quarter-on-quarter AUM growth in Tamil Nadu. The Tamil Nadu-Karnataka numbers are slightly lower than that of AP and Telangana when I compare QOQ growth in Q4 FY26, that are same with Q4 FY25 numbers. That's one part of the Tamil Nadu equation. Second part is, like, you know, the temperatures are much higher this year. Similarly, elections are also gone through. So do you see higher credit cost impact in Tamil Nadu, particularly for this particular quarter, Q1. Also, are there any local issues in Tamil Nadu? That's one question. So, second question first.
Actually, okay. Elections were there. Of course, the temperatures are also rising, but we are not seeing impact because of that. The credit quality.
The election data indicates better
in Tamil Nadu rather than Nadu. So that is what is the situation. As regards the growth is concerned, I think this 14% is a decent growth in Tamil Nadu considering the base. And also we have been successful. Of course, the competition is there, and we have been successful in retaining good people who are actually contributing to the company. So to that extent, we are successful, and that is why this growth is coming in. While the competition intensity is much higher, and with people poaching with other companies poaching guys from us, we are also closing up our retention schemes, insurance coverage schemes, and etc., so that people are more aligned to assets, and then they are able to contribute towards the growth of the company. So as of now, we are not seeing that kind of a big problem, but the competition is intense.
Also, new branches added in, you know, we are adding new branches only in states like Telangana and Andhra, and the newer markets like Maharashtra and Orissa. But the branch, new branch addition in Tamil Nadu, that way is not much. Whatever that growth is coming is largely out of the existing branches only.
Yes, sir. So is that because like penetration being very high, like Tamil Nadu is much more advanced state compared to AP or Telangana, either in terms of income or HDA, whichever parameter that you take. So has it reached a certain level of, you know, of a own housing and then, you know, new customers are hard to come by?
You know, the market still a long way to go. There is, the overall terms, the demand is not the issue. It's only the, you know, because Aptus has become known to be, leader in the affordable housing space, generally in South India, and more so, much more in Tamil Nadu. So any new competitor from West or North wanting to open a branch, first they would want to look at, you know, our staff, because our name and reputation. So that, you know, does create an issue on a very short-term basis. But that being addressed, that the address, and as Balaji said, we are progressively, you know, getting back. We want to increase this 14% of what you said, growth rate also to further level, forward.
Got it. So second question, like you have guided for 22 to 24% AUM growth, right? So that's approximately 16,000 crore. Assuming the same runoff rate, which is principal repayment plus BT out at same 16% of starting AUM, you need to do about like 5,000 to 5,100 crores of disbursements in FY27. It's like an average of 370 branches, like 340 to 400 that you go, average of 370 branches, that comes to monthly disbursement rate of 1.15. So that's about 10% growth. But if I look at the last 3 years, it's been same at 1.06 or 1.05 crores per month disbursement per branch. Even if I look at the Q4 number, it's like 1.23 crores per month over 1.19 crores last year, same quarter. So you said that, you know, the ticket sizes will increase by 1 lakh, 10%. Is that the main growth, the ticket size growth, but the customer addition is going to remain same as what we have seen so far? Yeah, that's the question.
So, there will be customer growth as been given in the presentation also. There is year-on-year customer growth. And, you know, the growth will come, as has been explained, growth will come out of new states, out of the existing, new branches of the existing states, out of channel comprising of the customer app, eco app, and, digital app channels, and which is augmented further by the, connector channel. So it is just not, you know, and the data that, you know, looking at what is the past in terms of, disbursement per branch of the past data, but there are a lot of actions being initiated in the current year, more so in the last 2 quarters, which is reflected in the fourth quarter in terms of substantial growth in disbursements. So with several actions, including the branches, new states, branches, ATS, new channel, and optimizing certain, rates. So several actions are being taken. It's not just one. And they are tracked. We have a strong MIS to track what is the growth coming out of each segment. And we believe that's the basis on which we are indicating the kind of growth that we are confident of pursuing.
Okay. So just to ask this in a different way, now that the PMAY-2 is also kicking in, so the BT rates will go down, so how confident are you that you will deliver this 22 to 24% growth that you have
been? PMAY-2 is for the urban kind of customers. Still, they are, I don't think this PMAY has come into the rural scenario. For our kind of customers, the PMAY coverage will be very minimal. So this is not going to impact much for us. If PMAY rural comes, we need to look at the amount of subsidy that is coming into that, because PMAY-1 rural subsidy was very, very less. So we need to look at that at that point in time when it is getting launched. So as of now, PMAY will not have any impact for practice.
Okay, sir. But the confidence on the 22 to 24% growth rate is very high.
I think we have worked out various strategies to get to this 5,000 crores, and that is why we are giving this guidance. So hopefully we'll be able to maintain that.
Thank you so much, sir. That's very comprehensive, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the call over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you everyone for attending the conference call. I would like to pay my sincere gratitude to all the analysts and investor friends who have taken time out to listen to us today. Please feel free to contact us if you have any further queries. Thank you.
Thank you all for being a part of the conference call. If you need any further information or clarification, please email investorrelations@aptusindia.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for using Chorus Call conferencing services. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Thank you.